And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Hey, what do you think? I think that's a good idea. You know, the protesters coming down. You got some free time. Maybe you can volunteer an hour of that time you're putting in there. Drop down the sign and help out the ICE agents. I mean, this is an all-in kind of a problem that we have here at the border. It's not us against them. Here we are. I mean, you want to be hospitable. You know, patrons and welcoming, you know, our guest, even as unintended as we may have expected. So be part of the solution. Pick up a broom, you know, clean up. Maybe there's something you can do there. And, of course, you know, ICE would have to go through some sort of clearance process. We just can't let anybody back there because then could you imagine? What kind of, but on the upside of this is, yeah, you put down your, protest sign for a moment, pick up a broom, help out, clean up, do whatever you can to help the ICE agents. That would go a long way and maybe might go a long way in helping you understand how complex the issue is and how our borders have been stormed. Hey, with us right now, I want to bring Bruce Thatcher on with us. Bruce is the founder of History Speaks Today, author of many books and, the most recent one, Rise and Decline, where we are and what we can do about it. Before that, his celebrated book that we talked about many times, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Maybe the next book should be is Immigration, What to Do When You've Ignored All of History and You Find Yourself Up to Your Earlobes with the Mess You've Created, huh, Bruce?
Yeah, maybe you've given me the next book idea.
Well, hey, it would be my honor. Something along those lines. I mean, it's off the top of my head, and I'm sure you'll come up with the perfect wordcraft of it, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do. We've been watching these pictures for the last couple of weeks. It would appear that most of what's happening in the world has to do with roughly 2,000 kids at the border who are arguably separated from their parents and cruelly treated by our government and immigration people. Interesting thing about those pictures, you can't help but be sympathetic for those.
Well, sure.
Kids. I mean,
absolutely.
Who can be not sympathetic? But I noticed a couple of things about them. Those pictures usually are cropped down to the point where you see very little of what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost never see fathers in the pictures. But these children and families are under our law refugees. They're seeking asylum into the United States from, and a very key term is from, credible threats in their homeland. I read reports that say many of them have been coached to say exactly that.
Of course. Yeah, they've got scripts. They're written out. They've got pieces of paper. The script is written out for them, and they find that, and they find birth control pills on the young girls, and, you know, kind of deal. And it's like, wait a minute, you know. We were mentioning this earlier. You know, you talk about the inhumanity of the, you know, that's been thrust upon these kids. But, of course, the media is not reporting on this, is that what kind of parent sends their daughter or a loved one on a 2,500-mile journey or a couple thousand miles anyway? You know, you don't have a – I'm not putting you on a train, a ticket or anything like that. I'm just sending you down there. And, oh, by the way, as a parting gift, have some gum and some birth control pills because chances are you're going to get raped. And how do you kiss your daughter goodbye and say that you're a concerned parent?
U.S. parents who do that, of course, would be arrested for child endangerment. So if U.S. law applied, it might be a very different situation. There are so many facets to the thing, but the reality is that there are these roughly 2,000, and keep that number in mind. 2,000 is not 200,000.
Right.
It's a couple of thousand, and they want asylum. So let's talk about, let me just cover a couple of the salient items about what that is. They're seeking asylum. The Refugee Act of 1980, which is the piece of law that guides most of what happens in this process, says that asylum is granted to any alien who arrives at the border without papers and who life, and now I'm quoting, life or freedom would be threatened on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. There's no mention there, and that's the end of the quote. There's no mention there of economic hardship. There's no mention of general violence and corruption and crime, all of which may be affecting their life. To be a refugee, to be an asylum, granted asylum, a person has to show that there's a credible threat, if they were to return to their country because of those particular reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a process. And the process involves determining whether that credible threat exists on an individual basis, not on a group basis. And it's not an easy thing to do.
When you're thousands of miles away, Bruce, how do I even know that who you tell me you are is who you are? I have no documentation, right?
That's right. No documentation is no documentation.
Mm-hmm.
You simply have the verbal representation of the individual involved as to who they are and what the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's right, and sometimes it might not be.
Yeah. Well, you have that situation where that one gal, she decides she's going to America. Husband's got a good job. He's in the boating industry. And that little, and her child is the one that's on that Time magazine that's a contrived photo where you got Donald Trump, you know, lurking over her, you know, this little girl like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, see, this is all the fake junk that goes out there. And
that's right.
And we've got a serious problem, you know, at the border, but, you know, they're not helping the cause. And of course, the media with 90% of what they're reporting, at least 90, it's probably higher than that because they're on an absolute rampage right now. And, you know, as crazy as some of the Trump tweets can be, I thank God that, you know, he's got the power of the tweet to even offset some of this goofy, you know, these goofy headlines and stories they put out there. You know, they're not telling us about the kids, you know, to your point, you know, these unaccompanied children that are coming, you know, they find, you know, that these 2,000 kids, 80% of those, Bruce, are without parents. I mean, they didn't even come to the border, you know?
Yeah, they uncovered, you know, they opened up a truck, or a truck was in an accident in Texas just recently, and here's a bunch of them who are dead in the truck. And there were, as far as I know, there were no parents involved with any of those people in the truck.
Well, Bruce, the other thing is we've heard stories for decades about the children running wild in the streets. You've got, you know, kids running around, you know, without parents, any parental supervision. They're just out there. They're, you know, like cats in the neighborhood. I mean, are these children that are coming here, are they part of that, you know, that mess that has been brewing over the past decades? I don't know. It's just a question. It makes me wonder here.
And the I don't know is a big, big part of it.
Well, this is why we have you here, so that we can know and not be in the I don't know category. Bruce Thatcher is with us. More from Bruce on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Live.
Hey, this is a place that believes in keeping it civil, right? I mean, we can get carried away and do kind of silly things like Seth Rogen. I say it's silly. I mean, he should be smarter than that to, you know, at a charity event and puts down Paul Ryan. I mean, here's one of our leaders of the government, an opportunity for, if Seth Rogen was really interested in finding out about immigration and policies of the government, here it is, man. You're face-to-face with somebody who's got some answers, and instead you want to put him down and be critical of him in front of his kids at a charitable event. I mean that lacks so much class. It's just unbelievable, and it's shameful, and it needs to be called out because, you know, we're better than this. You know, our parents didn't raise us to be this way, but this temperament that we have in our culture is disgusting. It's unacceptable. And you need to stand up in the face of it to say, hey, we've had enough of this. Because if we're going to get beyond the problems and the problems that we're in the middle of right now, in fact, Bruce Thatcher and I, who is the founder of History Speaks, we were just talking about this. You know, we got to get out of this urgent situation. I mean, the problems we're dealing with today have been accumulation of problems that have been going on for decades. Okay. Right now we have 2,000 kids that are being detained right now, all allegedly without their parents. I say allegedly because we don't know the real facts because we're being hit with so much fake news here, Bruce. And the other deal is what is the driving force that's making this happen? Some say, well, it's the Democrats, you know, they're looking for new voters down the road. I think, you know, part of me says it's much worse than that. And you wrote about it in your first book, Adamant Aggressors, How to Recognize and Deal with Them. And I believe that this is what's going on is this, you know, whether it's a shadow government, the deep state, other antithetical forces that do not believe in the exceptionalism of America, they don't believe in the Constitution, they are alive and well, and they're pulling every string they can right now, because America, Bruce, we're unhinged, and we're very vulnerable.
Revolutionaries set out to tear down or tear apart the country or the government or the society that they don't like. And Saul Alinsky wrote the formula that is used by so much of this in this country today. And you look back, sit back a little bit, and you can see this, that immigration is to many of these people simply another tool they can use to apply these weapons against the institutions they don't like, the government, the individualism. There's no question about that in my mind. They're focusing, most of the focus of these people that you referred to are on their current very narrow interest at the moment. Mm-hmm. We could solve the problem of those 2,000 kids at the border very, very easily by just simply doing what Obama did, you know, put them back with their parents if they have parents and release them into the society. And some small percentage of them would indeed come to a hearing a year from now.
Yes.
But most wouldn't.
Right.
And more importantly, if we did that, we wouldn't solve the problem. Every single one who's released is simply going to be rapidly replaced by another one who says, this works for them, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And the people who want that kind of a system, many of them, probably fall into this category of people who are against everything that has been the founding standards of this country.
Right. Bruce, to your point, we had a former president who didn't use quite the coarse language. I mean, it sounded all sweet and pretty. We're going to transform America, fundamentally transform America. And I kept asking, to what? What are we transforming to? And then we find out that, you know, he was involved in so many things that, I mean, I look back and I go, what positive? I mean, outside of the fact that we could say, you know, first black president, okay? Outside of that, what did he do to reinforce our constitutional principles, our rights? If anything, he did everything he could to dismantle it. And Donald Trump has been cleaning this up. I mean, as he said, first week, I still see that look on his face coming out of the Rose Garden, out of the Oval Office, and talking to me. Hey, Mr. President, how's it going? He goes, it's a mess. I mean, and the way he said it, it was the shock of his life dealing with the reality of how messed up our government is. And he, you know, I think for the moment, you know, he's like, whoa, I mean, this is like, you know, let's just sew the body back up because it is metastasized. It's so bad.
During the campaign, his opponent said he didn't understand what he was doing and getting into. And that picture you just described showed, no, he didn't. It was much, much, much worse than he had any idea.
Well, the other thing, too, Bruce, you know, we talk about this, too, on the show here, is that Where does anybody go to learn how to be president? I mean, this is the biggest on-the-job training program on the planet, that you're the most powerful man in the world and in the United States. You're elected, and where do you go? I mean, there's you can't go to, you know, Harvard and take some course study in how to be president. Suddenly you're president.
And you're in a situation where there have been other cases in our own history where some things like this have happened, but you are in a situation now, or Donald Trump is in a situation now, where huge numbers of the people who oppose him are simply opposing him because it's him.
Yes.
Or because he's threatening the piece of the swamp, mm-hmm, that they control, or he's threatening their some sort of transformative image of what they want to do for the country. I just don't hear very many arguments on the merits of various political problems in the country. The arguments are almost always on the personalities involved, and they're almost always focused on tearing down the efforts of the current president.
Well, and things so scary, Bruce, to your point here, is that the vitriol in the language, I mean, it is so incivil and disrespectful that we're going to get ourselves in trouble here. I mean, there's going to be people, I mean, we've already had some stupid things occur when people are acting out on all this aggression. I mean, this is what we're pouring out in our society, mm-hmm, that it's okay to hate people with such vitriol, that you yell them out of a restaurant, you disturb their peace just because they represent an opposing thought. I mean, I was almost breathing again on airplanes. As you know, I do a lot of traveling, and for a while there, you had to be careful. I mean, somebody brought up Trump's name, and you got people throwing food and getting excited and almost getting in fights, in some cases getting in fights on an airplane. And I almost started to breathe thinking, okay, things are calming down now, and here it is. I mean, the rancor is, they're turning it up, they're turning the volume knob up higher and higher, and this is getting crazy.
And I don't see any way it can be anything other than deliberate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it goes back to your book, right? Your first book, these are adamant aggressors, right?
They are on an internal scale. They will do anything to achieve their conquest, as it were.
Yeah, and again, my question is, transform to what? Where are we going? Are we going to go communist? Are we going to go socialist? What is your point in all this?
Well, we're not going to tell you that. We're just going to transform. I mean, think how many people in Germany in the 30s thought that what Hitler was promising and seemed mostly great was going to turn out the way it did? How many people in Venezuela listened to political leaders in the last 20 years and thought that it was going to turn out the way it did?
And I would say, Bruce, as we wrap things up, keep an eye on Mexico. Watch out what happens next. Bruce Thatcher, I'm Bill Martinez.